In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages, Amen. Good morning. I would like to congratulate you on the occasion of the beginning of St. Mary's Fast, which started yesterday. Our meditation this morning will be entitled, All Generations Will Call Me Blessed. And in the upcoming 2 weeks, God willing, and during the fast of our beloved Virgin Mary, we will be learning more and more about her and about her virtues, characteristics, and how we may grow into becoming more like her. It is a divine commandment to venerate the Virgin Mary. And veneration of the Virgin Mary is different than worshiping the Virgin Mary. The Orthodox Church is very moderate in its view towards Saint Mary. There are two extremes when it comes to belief about Saint Mary. There is one belief, one extreme, which is the right wing, thinking that the Virgin Mary is co-redeemer. Co-redeemer meaning that she played the exact same role in our salvation as our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Orthodox Church rejects this point of view. And then there is the left wing, which thinks or feels that Saint Mary is just like any other character in the Bible. There is no difference. Someone is not coming from an Orthodox background. They would speak about Saint Mary as anyone else. They could mention Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Saint Mary, Joseph. It doesn't really matter. And some people even go to the extreme to say, well, Saint Mary was almost like, you know, the can of tuna or whatever. You know, you take the contents and then you throw away the box. It's not really very important. But also the Orthodox Church rejects this point of view because our beloved Mother Saint Mary was chosen, picked by God from any other human being to carry him in her womb. Therefore, we want to learn today what is the proper way of venerating the Virgin Mary without falling into one of these two extremes, either to the extreme of worship and prayer, which is rejected by the Orthodox Church, or to the other extreme of just completely ignoring her or counting her as just another one of the Bible characters who played a minor role in the Bible and then she disappeared. Our meditation this morning will be divided into five main points. The first one, what role did Saint Mary play in the life of our Lord Jesus and in the church and in, as mentioned in the scriptures? Secondly, it will be Saint Mary's childhood. Thirdly, the titles of Saint Mary, the Mother of God. And then fourthly, the feasts of Saint Mary. And finally, I want to conclude by the question, why do we love Saint Mary so much? Why are Orthodox Christians in love with Saint Mary? This is a really important question to answer. So, I want to begin by a pop quiz, because I don't want it just to be one-sided. I want you to participate with me just to see how much knowledge you have, and then we can add to it. The first question that I have for you, what is the meaning of the word or the name Mary? What does it mean, literally? Who knows? Don't put up all your hands at once, please. Not everyone together. Who knows what is the meaning of the name Mary? It means?
Coming from heaven.
Coming from heaven, okay. Yes?
Incense?
Yeah, it means the royal incense. The royal incense, very good. And what is the meaning of the word Theotokos? Theotokos. Mother of God, yes. And more literally, like the very literal translation is? God-bearer, the bearer of God, okay? So this is the exact literal translation. Very good. How about, what other titles do you know about Saint Mary? What are some of the titles that are known about the Virgin Mary? Yes? The beautiful dove. Excellent, yes?
Second,
the second heaven, yes? The deacons are saying all the answers. Huh? Other titles for Saint Mary? Yes, Nick? The Aaron Censor. Okay, yes.
Daughter of Zion.
Daughter of Zion. Wonderful. What else? Huh? Yes, yes. The bearer of the manna. Yes. Okay. So most of these titles would have to do with her carrying the word of God. Okay. Related to the incarnation of God in her womb. So any of the symbols that are coming from the Old Testament, let's say from the tabernacle, from the tent of the meeting, where God commanded all the objects to be inside the Ark of the Covenant, we can call her also the Ark of the Covenant, all of these things, because they contained the manna, or you know, any kind of gold or royal object, okay, if it was carried inside this object, then it would refer to the Virgin Mary. How about another question? Can you recall any of the feasts of Saint Mary? And the church has several feasts for the Virgin Mary. Some of the commemorations and feasts that the church has for Saint Mary. Yes?
Annunciation.
The Annunciation. Yes.
Her birth.
Her birth, yeah. And her, okay, so the Ascension, which occurred like on the 20, towards the end of January, we call it the Dormition of the Virgin Mary. Dormition, another word for it is the Assumption. The word Ascension is mentioned for Christ. So Christ is the one who ascended, because he ascended by his own will and power. But as for the Virgin Mary, we call it the Dormition, or sometimes the Assumption, because she was assumed. She was as if she was recalled from heaven, from earth to heaven. So it's like the recalling of the Virgin Mary. Okay. And then what do we celebrate in this fast? Some people ask this question. Why do we fast for Saint Mary, and what do we celebrate on the 22nd of August? Who knows? What is the celebration on the 22nd? Yes? Exactly. So the story was that the Dormition of Saint Mary happened. This was the celebration of that is actually in January. But then the apostles did not see her body being assumed to heaven. Who was the apostle that saw her body being assumed to heaven? It was Saint Thomas, right? Saint Thomas was returning from his mission to India and he saw the body. So, you know, when he came back, they told him the Virgin Mary had departed. He said, no, I don't believe. You know that I am a doubter, because he had seen her body ascend. So when they went to the grave, they didn't find the body of the Virgin Mary. So he told them that he had seen her to ascend. But an angel came and said to them, you will see her in the flesh once more. You will see the Virgin Mary in the flesh once more. So they fasted for these 2 weeks. And then on the 22nd of August, this vision was fulfilled for them, which is the 16th of Misra. 16th of Misra, which is the 22nd of August. This promise was fulfilled to them, is that it was confirmed that they saw the Virgin Mary in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father. So this is what we are celebrating at the end of this month. It is the confirmation of the Assumption, or another word for it, I know it's a tough word, it's called Dormition. The Orthodox Church calls it Dormition of the Virgin Mary. So the confirmation of that. So that's really good. I think you know a lot, but let's put it all in context. How we can venerate the Virgin Mary in the Orthodox Church, and what is that understanding? It's really important not to confuse the veneration of the Virgin Mary with the worship of Virgin Mary, or the complete exclusion of the Virgin Mary from any kind of doxologies, etc. Now, you know that the Orthodox Church is very literal, in the sense that if it says so in the Bible, we do not negotiate with God. If this is what God wants, if it says so in the Holy Scripture, and the Scriptures is the inspired Word of God, there is no negotiations, no ifs or buts about it. The Scripture says in the hymn of Saint Mary, in Luke 1:48-49, behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. So this is something that is continuous, and this is ongoing. The veneration of Saint Mary is ongoing and continuous. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Our beloved Virgin Mary, because she was such a humble and modest person, she was not a person to speak this of her own. All this passage is speaking how the Lord has done great things for me, and he has raised the lowly, and you know, he has put down those who are high. So she would not speak this word except if it weren't inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that anyone would speak after being so humble and modest in the passage, say, oh, I'm going to be blessed and glorified and magnified. No, this was a command by the Holy Spirit that is said to us in order to venerate her. One of the church fathers said, read, she demonstrates that in her own judgment she was indeed Christ's humble handmaid, but with respect to heavenly grace, she pronounces herself all at once lifted up and glorified to such a degree that rightly her preeminent blessedness would be marveled at by voices of all nations, from generation to generation. What role did Saint Mary play? She was, or she is, the mother of God, the Theotokos, as mentioned in Luke 1:43, when Elizabeth said, how is it that the mother of my Lord would come to me? She is the seed of David, as in Romans 3:1, the bride-to-be of Joseph, and the kinswoman of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. She attended the ceremonial purification in Luke 2:22-38. She fled into Egypt with Joseph, and she lived in Nazareth, and she took 12-year-old our Lord Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And she was always concerned about our Lord's safety, as in Matthew 12:46. And at the cross where she was entrusted by our Lord Jesus Christ to the care of John the Evangelist, as mentioned in John 19:25-27. And she was there also in the upper room with the disciples where the Holy Spirit came down upon them. We saw just a little glimpse of the words of the Virgin Mary in the Gospel of St. Luke, mainly in her Magnificat, amongst other places. But we wish that the Virgin Mary would have spoken. There are so many people, and I'm one of them, that I speak a lot, and at the conclusion of it, people say, you know, what does he want to say? There's no meaning to this. We can speak so many words, but have so little meaning. And then there are some people who speak very few words, but they have such depth to them. And Saint Mary is one of those people that we had wished that he had spoken more to tell us about her experience with our Lord Jesus. Saint Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna, were righteous people in front of God. They prayed earnestly, asking God to grant them a child. And 6 years after they were married, they had the Virgin Mary, and they knew that she was a special gift from God, and they gave her that name Mary, which means royal incense. And of course she grew up in the temple until she was called by the angel in order to be betrothed to Saint Joseph. Some of the titles of the Virgin Mary, as you have mentioned already, is number one, the Theotokos, which means the bearer of God, and she who bore God in her womb. This is also another literal translation of the word Theotokos. And this theological term was fixed by the councils of the church because at times they would call the Virgin Mary the mother of Jesus, and thus separating the divinity from the humanity. But the church wanted to say that he who is in St. Mary's womb is full God and full man. We cannot say that she only gave birth to Jesus. No, she gave birth to the incarnate Word of God. And who is this incarnate Word of God? He is the one who is fully human and fully God at the same time. And this is why from the early church, the church fixed this term for St. Mary. Also, as you said, she is the second heaven according to Acts 7:49, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And God dwells in heaven, therefore we call St. Mary the second heaven because God descended and dwelt within her. Thirdly, we call St. Mary the golden lampstand and the mother of the true light, as she carried our Lord Jesus, who is the true light of the world, as mentioned in John 8:12. And for this reason, we give her this title. And into the introduction of the creed, we say, we exalt you, the mother of the true light. And we magnify you, O Theotokos, the Holy Virgin, for you have borne for us the Savior of the world. He came and saved our souls. We also call her the golden censer and the burning bush and Aaron's rod and the ever virgin and Jacob's ladder and the manna pot and the Ark of the Covenant. All of this we can refer to Exodus chapter 16, Numbers chapter 17, 1 to 11, and Ezekiel 44, 1 to 12. She is the ever virgin. As we saw the ladder, Jacob's ladder, and we saw a ladder also, that God went in and out and it was completely sealed. So we say that the Virgin Mary is the ever virgin, and that never changed. So we spoke briefly about the role that Saint Mary played, as mentioned in the Holy Scriptures. We spoke about Saint Mary's childhood, and then we spoke about the titles of the Holy Virgin Mary. And fourthly, we want to mention the feasts that the Church has had set for her. Number one, the Church celebrates the Annunciation of her birth, and this is on the seventh day of Misra. This is the time when the angel of God announced the birth of Saint Mary to her parents, Joachim and Anna, and filled them with joy and vowed that their daughter will be consecrated for the Lord. The second feast is the birth of Saint Mary, so her birthday basically. And this happens on the first of Bashans. The third feast for Saint Mary is her entrance into the temple. And this is celebrated by the Church on the third of Kiyak, which comes towards the beginning of December. It is the day on which she entered to worship in the temple, in a place especially for virgins, and she was approximately about 3 years old. The fourth feast is the departure of Saint Mary, and this is a commemoration on the 21st of Tuba. And the Church commemorates the miracle which occurred on that day, and when the disciples surrounded her, except for Saint Thomas, who was not present. Then we have a monthly feast, a monthly commemoration for the Virgin Mary on the 21st day of every Coptic month. Then we have the Assumption, or as we said, the Dormition of her body, which is on the 16th of Mithra. Seventhly is the feast of her miracle, which is called the Dissolution of the Chains of Saint Matthias. As Saint Matthias, one of the apostles, was in prison, and she came and she loosened his chains and they were melted and he was set free. Number eight is her appearance at Zaytun, and this happened on April the 2nd, 1968. It has become an annual time to commemorate the Virgin Mary. And then finally is the feast of her entry into Egypt with the Holy Family, of course, which is on the 24th of Bashans, or June the 1st. So the Church has set nine, but you know, one of them is really a monthly commemoration. Every month we want to remember the Virgin Mary. Finally, we want to think a bit, why is it do we love Saint Mary so much? And I wanna ask you, I have some thoughts, but I want to ask you, why is it you feel that in the Orthodox Church we have grown to be so much emotionally attached to Saint Mary? Again, we want to confirm that prayer is only due unto our God. We do not pray to anyone except to our Lord Jesus. We may ask the Virgin Mary to intercede on our behalf. Okay? We do not believe that she is co-redeemer, but still we have such an emotional tie with our mother, the Virgin Mary. Why is this? I want to ask you. How do you feel, Maurice?
She's a perfect role model for disciples.
Yes, she has become a perfect role model, so we want to follow in her footsteps. Okay, other reasons why we love Saint Mary so much. Yes?
Because she represents humanity in its purest form. So when we want to get rid of all the sin, and we know someone did it and can understand that in all aspects of humanity, that's...
Very good. So she represents humanity in its purest form. So if a human being could be such, you know, a wonderful person, and she carried God physically, and we could carry God spiritually also. I think Franny wrote a beautiful article about bearing God or carrying God spiritually, that is, maybe I'll ask her to share it at some point, just because of our time now. But it's a beautiful article, and the essence of it is how we learn from Saint Mary that she bore Christ in the flesh, and we should bear him also spiritually with us in every step, and he should lead the way. So that's another lesson that we learn from her. Why else do we love Saint Mary so much? Yes, Joe, please.
As a human, as a mother, her humility is manifested in the way she cares about people. And she intercedes without anybody asking her.
Yes. So Joe is saying, like, her paternal aspect as a mother, she was humble, she was modest. So she is a role model to all mothers, but to all human beings in general. And she showed us so many virtues that we can learn from, that no matter how long we speak about, we may never give her all, you know, what is due unto her. For this reason, we love her so much.
Because she's the greatest intercessor, and she appeared amongst all of all the saints throughout the church.
Definitely, she is the greatest intercessor. We put her in the church above the angels and the archangels and any saint. Saint Mary comes on top. At times people say, you know, why do we mention the names of so many male or men saints and not too many female? And we always say, well, you know what, on top of all of them is Saint Mary. So no one, there is no angel or any patriarch or pope or saint or martyr that comes before her. So she comes on top. And also a good point that Moses has mentioned here is that she had appeared throughout all generations. In every century you find that Saint Mary has been at work. God is sending her through, you know, the prayers. Her prayers are being answered from the era of the apostles up until this generation, where we continue to see her miracles, and that's why we have grown so much attached to her.
God chose her among all women for her virtues and her humility.
Yes, God chose her amongst all human beings for her modesty, her humility, her purity, and that's why she's a wonderful role model. One more.
Whenever we ask something to Saint Mary, and really we ask it from our heart, she always, you know, gives you an answer one way or the other. Like, it doesn't have to be the answer we requested.
Yes.
An answer that, in a way, answers all our...
Definitely, God always answers her prayers on our behalf. And please remember that we say in the liturgy, pray to the Lord on our behalf. So our prayers are always directed towards God, not towards the Virgin Mary. But we can ask her to intercede on our behalf, and definitely God is going to answer her prayers, because she has a special place in his heart, of course. So for 2,000 years, the Church has preserved the memory of the Virgin Mary as a prototype for all Christians. She is a model of what we are to become through Jesus Christ. Saint Mary was truly pure and unconditionally obedient to God. And the tradition of the Church holds that Saint Mary remained a virgin all her life. While lifelong celibacy is not a requirement for all Christians to follow, Saint Mary's spiritual purity, or her wholehearted devotion to God, is certainly to be emulated in each and every one of us. Saint Mary is also our model in that she was the first person to receive Jesus Christ because she bore Christ in her womb physically. All Christians now have the privilege of bearing God within them spiritually. We honor her and we love her, and we will continue to venerate her according to the command of the Holy Scriptures. Behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. May her prayers and intercessions be with us, and may we ask for her prayers today and always, and may she, as a beautiful mother and a kind mother, cover us all with her prayers, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.